Master Carpenter of Nazareth, who with wooden nails won our full salvation. Wield well thy tools in this thy workshop, that we who come to you rough may be fashioned into a truer beauty by your hand. Amen. I wonder how many of you watched Britain's Got Talent last night.
Yes,
a few of you did. I was totally undone by one of the items. Now, I wouldn't be interesting with anybody who saw it could just suggest which one it was.
Yeah, the 15-year-old girl?
Oh, she had a voice. That girl had a voice. No, it wasn't that one.
Okay.
The choir. There was a choir of parents who have lost their children. Whose children gone missing, in other words. At 9 o'clock I said, mislaid their children. I said, that doesn't sound very good, does it? But and their helpers. So it wasn't just those who... And one of them, I think, was about a son, I think, had gone missing since 1986 or something. 88? I have no box to put that in.
No.
I mean, I understand about estrangement between parents and children where, and you've heard me say before, when I've talked to parents in those situations, keep your baseline going. Always write to them for birthdays and Christmas, and write regular letters, like maybe, you know, once a quarter or something. Not expecting a reply, but ensuring that there is a bridge that they can come back across. But that's, of course, not necessarily the story. And of course, in my mind, I then expanded it to, you know, Madeleine McCain, 10 years now. And Boko Hamas, you know, abducting those 275, I think it was, girls. It's just amazing, isn't it? And it just seemed to me that as I was watching that, well, I was kind of a bit choked up really, as I was sort of watching that and thinking about it and thinking about today, Good Shepherd Sunday. Jesus who goes looking for the missing. Because people can be missing in all sorts of different ways, and it just seemed to fit in my mind for the theme. But what I want to share with you today also does. There's an interesting book called The Ragamuffin Gospel. It's a book about the meaning of Christianity by a former Franciscan priest, Brennan Manning. And he argues that Jesus' gospel was one of grace, and the efforts to earn salvation, to earn a place in God's heart, are impossibly misguided. In his book, he says that the true meaning of God's grace has been lost in a constant search to merely please God, as though God is only a small-minded bookkeeper who tallies sins and uses them against us. Using both the Bible and story, Manning illustrates the simple need for us to accept the freedom of God's grace and its power to change lives. And he says, you too are loved by God. Now, the Ragamuffin Gospel was written with a Pacific audience in mind. This book is not for the super spiritual and not for legalists who would rather surrender control of their souls to rules rather than run the risk of living in union with Jesus. The Ragamuffin Gospel was written for the bedraggled, the beaten up, the burnt out. It is for the wobbly and weak kneed, who know that they don't have it all together and sometimes are too proud to accept the handout of amazing grace. It's for poor, weak, sinful men and women with hereditary faults and limited talents. It is for the bent and the bruised who feel that their lives are a great disappointment to God. It is for anyone who has grown weary and discouraged along the way. You see, at its heart, the Christian message is about the generosity of God, who not only longs for your company and for you to be whole, free, forgiven and loved, but he also wants this to be freely demonstrated in the lives of those who call themselves Christians. Legalism, rules and do's and don'ts are the very opposite of what God has wanted and sought to give us. These exist and are certainly found in the Bible, not as a rod to break us, but as a fallback position so we can clarify how we are to be. That is what boundaries are for. Boundaries say, well, this is the limit. And because we're human, we want to go to the limit, don't we? We want to push them, and then we get upset because there's a limit there. But in actual fact, they are something that keeps you safe and secure. If we live in the grace of God and treat others in the same way, we will naturally fulfill the law. That is the way it is meant to be. If we focus on the law, we'll become like it. But if we focus on Jesus and the rich and healthy stuff that God would have us do, we will grow to be like him in bold and risky and courageous ways. And it's also full of surprises. Brennan Manning says, because salvation is by grace through faith, I believe that among the countless numbers of people standing in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb dressed in the white robes, aye, before God, as we read in Revelation 7:9, we shall see the prostitute from Kit Kat Ranch in Carson City, Nevada, who tearfully told me that she could find no other employment to support her 2-year-old son. The question I ask is, so where was her parents? Where was her family? But sometimes such is the circumstances that either they cannot cross back over, or they're lost, or they're gone, and all else becomes desperate. She thought, what else can I do? He says, I see the woman who had an abortion and is haunted by guilt and remorse, but did the best she could, faced with the grueling alternatives. The businessman besieged with debt who sold his integrity in a series of desperate transactions. The insecure clergyman addicted to being liked, who never challenged his people from the pulpit and longed for unconditional love. The sexually abused teen molested by his father and now selling his body on the street, who as he falls asleep each night after his last trick, whispers the name of the unknown God he learned about in Sunday school. But how, we ask? Then the voice says, they have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There they are. There we are. The multitude who so wanted to be faithful, who at times got defeated, soared by life, defeated by trials, wearing the bloodied garments of life's tribulations, but through it all clung to faith. Now, if this is not good news to you, you have never understood the gospel of grace. You have never understood Jesus and the amazing heart of Father God. We should be astonished at the goodness of God, stunned that he should bother to call us by name, our mouths wide open at his love, bewildered that at this very moment we're standing on holy ground. For those who feel their lives are a grave disappointment to God, it requires enormous trust and reckless, raging confidence to accept that the love of Jesus Christ knows no shadow of alteration or change. When Jesus said, come to me all who labour and are heavy laden, he assumed that we would grow weary, grow discouraged, be disheartened along the way. These words are a touching testimony to the genuine humanness of Jesus. He had no romantic notion of the cost of discipleship. He knew that following him was as unsentimental as duty, as demanding as love. How I treat a brother or sister from day to day, how I react to the sin-scarred wino on the street, how I respond to interruptions from people I dislike, how I deal with normal people in the normal confusion of a normal day may be a better indication of my reverence for life than the protest I make on the bumper sticker of my car. This is what lies behind the words that we use in the service, and we will hear them this morning again in the communion prayer, where in this case Kay will say, You are welcome to this table of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love him, for those who want to love him. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little, you who have been here long and you who have not been here long, you who have tried to follow and you who have failed, come, because it is the Lord who invites you. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. My deepest awareness myself, says Brennan, is that I am deeply loved by Jesus, and I've done nothing to earn it or deserve it. And this is my experience too. I'm deeply loved by God, and so are you. You are much loved. I'm his child, and he is my father. Imagine that Jesus is calling you today. He extends a second invitation to you to accept the Father's love. And maybe you answer, I know all that, it's old hat. And God answers, no, that's what you don't know. You don't know how much I love you. The moment you think you understand is the moment you do not understand. I am God, not a human. You tell others about me, your words are glib, my words are written in the blood of my only Son. And the Father says this, did you know that every time you tell me you love me, I say thank you? Indeed, for me, when I tell my Father in heaven that I love him, almost invariably in my mind drops the words, and I love you too. And don't we long to hear the heart of God say to you, I love you, like that? I never get tired of it. It feeds my soul. It helps to build me and to be the person I'm called to be. And grace calls out, you are not just a disillusioned old man who may die soon, a middle-aged woman stuck in a job and desperately wanting to get out, a young person feeling the fire in the belly begin to grow cold. You may be insecure, inadequate, mistaken, or pot-bellied. Death, panic, depression, and disillusionment may be near you. But you're not just that. You are accepted. You are loved. Never confuse your perception of yourself with the mystery that you really are accepted. The gospel declares that no matter how dutiful or prayerful we are, we can't save ourselves. What Jesus did was sufficient. And this is the awesome truth that God has made known to us. And it nearly got hijacked by the church in Jerusalem just a few years after it all began. Because some folks wanted to keep the tried and the true. They wanted things to stay the same and dress it up a little with Jesus taught. But God, it's always but God, had other ideas, and the Holy Spirit moved the leadership to consider another perspective, another view. And God broke through and it all began again. This young church was like Brennan Manning's ragamuffins. He says, the ragamuffin who sees his life as a voyage of discovery and runs the risk of failure has a better feel for faithfulness than the timid man who hides behind the law and never finds out who he is at all. You see, it's out of grace that God gives you your identity. If you try and find your identity by doing the law, all you'll do is work hard and bust something. Because we can never achieve acceptability by fulfilling and obeying the law. All the law does is expose our vulnerability and our sin. But by grace, he looks at you and says, you cannot do this. I have done it for you because I love you and you matter to me. And no matter how hard you try, you still matter to me. And quit trying so hard anyway. And lean on me and know that I identify you as a son and daughter of God. I've changed your name. I've given you a name that is far above every other name that you could even imagine you could give yourself. Because you are special to me. You are my son. You are my daughter. to follow Jesus and to commit your life and life choices to him is to risk failure. But it is better to risk than to fail at life where it ultimately counts. And God says on that great and terrible day, I never knew you. Until then, we have every opportunity to experience the yes and welcome of God, to accept his invitation to love and courageous living. The young church 2,000 years ago took that risk, and we're here today because of it. God, who began it all, though heartbroken by the state of the world and our willful choices to forget him and rebel against him, says, you matter to me and I love you. Reach out and receive my love. And that, of course, is the free choice that he gives you. Choose him. Keep choosing him. Keep discovering him. Keep living in the risk of being his. And remember the Ragamuffin Gospel. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love us so much. Thank you that we matter so much to you, that you gave your life, you willingly obeyed your Father, you came and you lived and you died. So like the Good Shepherd, you could search us and to find us and to bring us home rejoicing. That you would give us an identity which we could never imagine. And that you mean it. You long for us to rise up into that identity and live under the grace you've given us. And that we'll never take you for granted. And always seek to know you afresh. And to hear your voice each day saying, you are my beloved son and daughter, with whom I am well pleased. I love you. Thank you for that. Amen.